Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Yevamos Daf Kufyud Beis, Yevamos 112. Today's Daf Yomi, we begin the 14th chapter of Maseches Yevamos called Cheresh Shenasa. So a deaf mute that got married. In this chapter, we continue with our discussion of Yibum and Chalitza, but we're talking about here when the marriage is not biblically binding, but it's only rabbinically binding. And under what circumstances does that marriage fall to Yibum? And as a result of this, we also discuss which marriages require a divorce and which don't. So in order to understand this first Mishnah, we want to review certain concepts. There's three levels with respect to a kedusha, with respect to a betrothal. If there's a man and woman who are both of what's called b'nei das, they're both of sound mind. And so if the man betroths the woman under those circumstances and she accepts, then of course the betrothal is going to be binding, biblically speaking. But let's say you have a cheresh or a chereshes. These are in Talmudic times, it's called a deaf mute, which they believe those people are not of sound mind. So if you have a male deaf mute or a female deaf mute, biblically speaking, their marriage is not valid. However, the sages instituted that they can get married in order so that they don't lose the opportunity to do pru or vu, and so therefore their marriage is to have children. So therefore, their marriage is only rabbinically binding. And if one of them was shote or katan, shote is somebody who's not of sound mind or a minor, then the sages said they can't get married and their marriage is not binding. And their marriage is considered sinus or aludity. And we force them to separate. So the first line of our Mishnah is Cheresh Shenasa Pikachas. If there was a person who is a male deaf mute who married a woman who is of, Pikachas means she's not deaf mute, she's of sound mind, or Pikach Shenasa Chereshes, or a female who is, or a male who's of sound mind, and he marries a female who's not of sound mind, Imratzo Ahotzi Yotzi. If the man wants to divorce her, he can divorce her with a get. Imratzo Ekayim, but if he wants to remain married, Ekayim, he's allowed to remain married. And Keshem Shehu Kones Bermiza, and just like he can betroth her with just remiza, meaning to say he demonstrates with his fingers or his hand that he wants to betroth her, kahu motzi b'remiza, and so too he could divorce her by signaling with his hands. But our Gemara and the bottom of Kufyu Beis Amud Beis asked the question. We see from our Mishnah that if there was a pikeach who marries a chereshes, or a cheresh who married a pikachas, in that circumstance where the brother dies, where the husband dies, and so therefore she falls before the brothers for Yibum, then our Mishnah says she requires Chalitza, meaning to say that the sages instituted for a Cheresh and a Chereshes that the marriage is binding, even though biblically speaking they're not of B'nai Das, they're not of sound mind, and so therefore, biblically speaking, it's not binding. So the Gemara asked a fundamental question. Why, when it comes to a cheresh or a chereshes, this deaf mute, that the rabbis instituted that their marriage is binding? Why, when it comes to a male or a female who is not of sound mind, then in that case, the rabbis did not institute that the marriage is binding? How come here they say that the law is, how come they draw this distinction? And Gemara cites a brisa, the Tanya, shote v'katan shenasu nashim umesu. If there was a male or if there was an insane, a person who's not of sound mind, or a child who married women and then they died without any children, nishosein peturos min ha-chalitza min ha-yibim. The women are exempt from chalitza or yibim because it's not considered a marriage at all. So the Gemara says there's a fundamental difference. There's a fundamental difference between the marriage of a chayresh, the marriage of the deaf mute, to the marriage of the shote, to the person who's not of sound mind. Cheresh v'chereshes tekaima takanta d'rabanan. Because the cheresh and chereshes, they are fulfilling the takan of the rabbanan. Because the practice is that, typically speaking, when they live in peace. And even if they're both chereshim, they're going to be able to live in peace. And so therefore, for sure, if one of them is not a cheresh, but one of them is of sound mind, for sure it's not going to be a problem. So therefore, takinu l'rabanan nesiyun. Therefore, the rabbis instituted that their marriage is going to be binding, and Tosfos explains, in order for them to be able to have children. However, Shota, this man who's not of sound mind, Rashota, and a woman who's not of sound mind, and for sure, if they're both of not of sound mind, the Lokaima Tekanta de Barabanan, then if the rabbis will institute there that they'll be married. They're not going to be able to maintain this marriage. They're not going to be able to live in a state of peace. And the reason is, Ein adam darim nachash bekfifa achas. A person's not able to dwell with a nachash, with a serpent in one box. So therefore, gota kinu rabbanim nisuin. Therefore, the rabbis did not institute that they're able to get married. It's meaning to say, under those circumstances, the rabbis didn't seem to indicate that they'd be able to live together properly, so therefore they didn't institute a marriage. However, if they already got married, then the sages instituted that he should not divorce her because she wouldn't know how to protect herself, and that's what Tosfos says. That Tosfos writes, if they already get married, mio hechosh nisus lo, that where she already got married to him, kfar takinu rabbanon she'ena miskereshes. The rabbis instituted that they shouldn't get divorced, kimun she'ena yodeas lishmor atzma, because she doesn't know how to protect herself or guard herself. So prior to getting married, we say that these two people are not of sound mind, should not get married. But once they get married, then we allow them to remain married.